Please be seated. One of our contemporary journalists has decided to leave behind his usual round of assignments and to walk around the world. We remember travels with Charlie, John Steinbeck's drive across America with his pet dog. You may remember a similar, more postmodern drive across the outback of America by William Least Heat Moon, Blue Highways. Another such volume a few years ago was A Walk Across America by Peter Jenkins. But this fellow, Paul Salopek, is walking around the world. He has been at it for a couple of years already. The television camera and crew caught up with him in Eastern Europe. He has been through four pairs of shoes. He carries very little in his backpack, a change of clothes, and a computer. He has some traveling buddies, part guides, part protectors, part friends. He asks people in various towns to let him stay with them. They do. Then he interviews them, doing a video interview once a month. One thing he said really struck home. The world is a very hospitable place, he said. With only a few exceptions, this world is a very hospitable place. People receive, welcome, and offer you hospitality. Paul Salopek began walking, I believe, in January of 2013. His ironic voice has a faint but real resonance, Thanksgiving 2015, as we are immersed in reports of violence around the globe. This Sunday each year, we remember to be thankful. Are we mindful of our sources of gratitude? We're not always as thoughtful as we could be, not as mindful as we should be. So let us be thoughtful this Thanksgiving. Let us be mindful of the goodness of God, as sung in the 126th Psalm. Let us be thoughtful this Thanksgiving, as we are reminded so to be in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Let us be mindful and thoughtful, mindful of friendship, as was our friend Max Kutz.
Let us give thanks for a bounty of people, for children who are second planting, and though they grow like weeds and the wind too soon blows them away, may they forgive us for our cultivation and fondly remember where their roots are. For generous friends with hearts and smiles as bright as their blossoms, for feisty friends as tart as apples, for continuous friends who, like scallions and cucumbers, keep reminding us that we've had them, for crotchety friends as sour as rhubarb and as indestructible, for handsome friends who are as gorgeous as eggplants and as elegant as a row of corn, and the other, plain as potatoes and as good for you, for funny friends who are as silly as Brussels sprouts and as amusing as Jerusalem artichokes, and serious friends as complex as cauliflowers and as intricate as onions. For friends as unpretentious as cabbages, as subtle as summer squash, as persistent as parsley, as delightful as dill, as endless as zucchini, and who, like parsnips, can be counted on to see you through the winter. For old friends nodding like sunflowers in the evening time, and young friends coming on as fast as radishes. For loving friends who wind around us like tendrils and hold us, despite our blights, wilts, and witherings. And finally, for those friends now gone, like gardens past that have been harvested and who fed us in their times that we might have life thereafter. For all these, we give thanks. By Reverend Mark Kutz.
Our lessons from ancient scripture surround us with thanksgiving. The prophet Joel attributes directly to the Lord in a way we might not in our time, both the weal and woe of natural cycles. Yet his spirit of thanksgiving could not be more evident as he acclaims gratitude for the good that is given in pasture and tree and vineyard. Even those of us dwelling mostly in an urban setting can, from this past autumn, sense warm mostly this autumn, dry mostly this autumn, pleasant mostly this autumn. We may receive such a sense of blessing and so a sense of gratitude. Our psalm, very directly, also recalls a dreamlike time of plenitude. Seed time gives way to harvest, as tears give way to shouts and joy. The long months of hidden growth, of change and development under the earth are a firm reminder to those who use this psalm that the future will look different from the past and from the present. Every autumn, every harvest season, we are offered such a reminder. Our epistle lesson in 1 Timothy turns from nature to history, from harvest to governance. As elsewhere in the New Testament, we find here an unsurprising thanksgiving for order. In a prayer recently, we heard the petition that we might serve God with a quiet mind. Not all order is godly, especially when purchased with the counterfeit currency of oppression and injustice. But Timothy has a point. A quiet and peaceable life itself requires order. And when we have such, we are right to give thanks. Especially in the later New Testament writings, there is preserved for us a mature recognition of the value in things done decently and in order. But it is our gospel today that shines most clearly with gratitude, a beatitudinal thanksgiving prayer itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. The body, birds of the air, lilies of the field, reminders of what Marilynne Robinson might call the givenness of things. Friday night, our Inner Strength Gospel Choir, fed earlier by the loving care of Marsh Chapel members Cecilia, Sandra, Jerry, Carolyn, Victoria, and Melvina, gave a compelling witness in this nave, in the heart of this past week of turmoil, to thanksgiving, grateful praise. So let us be mindful of the good earth, of the fruits of harvest, of the fruits of years of labor and love, and as one, Carol Zahm remembered, in the figure of her friend.
Sitting by my window, looking out at the field, this chair has been such a comfort for so many years, rocking, rocking. All the children were comforted in this chair, all grown and gone now, babies growing year after year till they could go to the field to help. The fields, so green in the spring, then the plow broke it up into beautiful brown earth. Worked over and over until the seeds had a wonderful bed in which to grow. Week after week growing, and then the harvest. We all went to the field for the harvest, sunrise to sunset, day after day, finished at last. Ready for winter. Now looking across the field at the beautiful virgin snow, like watching a baby sleep, so peaceful. Happy for the quiet, anxious for the awakening. Start again. Sitting by my window, rocking, rocking.
Her rocking and the rhythm of her remembrance along the brown earth seem a world away from our world today. We have been this past week through a very dark patch. The torrent of images from Paris and elsewhere threatens so to inundate as to overwhelm and then to drown. Under the aspect of thanksgiving this morning, let us pause for a moment to collect our thoughts, to gird ourselves in faithful cautions. We will want to be careful to remember that individual choices to kill, say, or to heal, say, are real, they matter, they count in the long, long run. Someone chose to kill in Paris. The bombs were not set by systems or structures, but by men and women of carne y hueso, flesh and bone. We will want to be clear that for all of the structural, systemic, and acculturated sources of violence, how potent they are. It is nonetheless an irretrievable and irremediable individual choice to take another's life and to take another's innocent life. We will want to be somber and sober to remember that God gives the human being a rooted daily freedom, but does not then suddenly intervene to erase that freedom, however perversely, however violently, however despicably that freedom is used. We will want to stand up, to sit up, to take notice that liberty is only of any value within the constraints of security to enjoy it, and that security is only of any value as a basis for the enjoyment of liberty itself. As people of faith, we cannot in sloth afford to be naive, refusing the dominical wisdom of serpents to hide underneath a false innocence of doves when facing hatred, religious terrorism, and nihilistic venom. Protection for the lamb requires resistance to the wolf before either determines to lie down with the other. We do not want to pray, preach, sing, or proffer a kind of cheap grace that speaks lightly of forgiveness for the murderer, the terrorist, the sadistic extremist. The utter realism of the Bible on the one hand and our brutal experience across centuries and years on the other forbid it. Those of us who heard the explosions on Boylston Street in 2013 fully empathize in a particular way with Paris 2015. And in helping one another and our children, as one Fred has said, we can at least remind them, the least, the littlest, that they are safe, that it's okay to feel sad about what has happened to others, and we can continue to support and protect our neighbors and friends of all manner of different traditions, religious and secular alike. With a soulful abandon, with a Parisian panache, going forward, we can go forward as a flaneur of old, to saunter, to wander, to stroll, to make our own streets and boulevards the heart and soul of life. So let us be mindful this Thanksgiving, as was Howard Thurman, who was 100 years ahead of his time 50 years ago, his poem.
Today I make my sacrament of thanksgiving. I begin with the simple things of my days. Fresh air to breathe, cool water to drink, the taste of food, the protection of houses and clothes, the comforts of home. For all these, I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I bring to mind all the warmth of humankind that I have known, my mother's arms, the strength of my father, the playmates of my childhood, the wonderful stories brought to me from the lives of many who talked of days gone by when fairies and giants and all kinds of magic held sway. The tears I have shed and the tears I've seen, the excitement of laughter and the twinkle in the eye with its reminder that life is good. For all these, I make an act of thanksgiving this day.
I finger one by one the messages of hope that awaited me at the crossroads, the smile of approval from those who held in their hands the reins of my security, the tightening of the grip in a simple handshake when I feared the step before me in darkness, the whisper in my heart when the temptation was fiercest and the claims of appetite were not to be denied. The crucial words said, the simple sentence from an open page when my decision hung in the balance. For all these, I make an act of thanksgiving for this day. I pass before me the main springs of my heritage, the fruits of labors of countless generations who lived before me, without whom my own life would have no meaning, the seers who saw visions and dreamed dreams, the prophets who sensed a truth greater than the mind could grasp, and whose words could only find fulfillment in the years which they would never see. The workers whose sweat has watered the trees, the leaves of which are for the healing of the nations, the pilgrims who set their sails for lands beyond the horizons, whose courage made paths into new worlds and far-off places, the saviors whose blood was shed with the recklessness that only a dream could inspire and God could command. For all this, I make an act of thanksgiving this day.
I linger over the meaning of my own life and the commitment to which I give the loyalty of my heart and mind, the little purposes in which I have shared my loves, my desires, my gifts, the restlessness which bottoms all I do with its stark insistence that I have never done my best, I have never dared to reach for the highest, the big hope that never quite deserts me, that I and my kind will study war no more, that love and tenderness and all the inner graces of almighty affection will cover the life of the children of God as the waters cover the sea. All these and more than mind can think and heart can feel, I make as my sacrament of thanksgiving to thee, our Father, in humbleness of mind and simplicity of heart. Amen.